Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sue Teresa here on Sunday, the 21st of September, 2014. Welcome to those of you who are joining for the first time, and also welcome to those of you who have been joining from week to week in some way or another, either live or listening to the recording on the blog, and for giving your feedback about the program. And it's so great to have met some of you in person while I've been in India and you've been coming and visiting here, and then also online in other programs, and then just keeping up in emails or phone calls. So it's really a fabulous time of the year. And I don't even know what day or time it is. Actually, I do. It's quite an interesting few days for me. I did a big timeline jump. For those people who are wondering what timeline jumping is all about, you can read about the program that is laid out at Palai Center. It's offered there, and you can read the store post, and if you're so inclined, then join the program. It's fabulous. It's one of the best programs that Dr. Palai has put out, in my humble opinion, in that things can happen so quickly when you do the meditations and do the practices, and then set your goals or set your schedule, but just allowing the energies of those mantras, those teachings from that program to come into your life and then clear the way. And timeline jumping means that there's so many different opportunities that come about. So my what I'd like to share with you is just my little story this week, as I've been sharing every week. Since I've been in India, I started in Delhi, then I went to Chennai for a little bit, quick turnaround. Then I did a Naughty Remedy trip with a group from Delhi. And we went to, oh gosh, like 30-some-odd temples in a week's time. So it was a total timeline jump, going in all those vortexes and just cleaning up the karma and really coming out the other side with more awareness, more well-being, and all these great opportunities, great relationships. All this fabulous stuff has come out of that. And then I spent time in Kumbakonam, which is temple town. It's about 1,000 temples in a village area. And so it was very empowering to be there. And then I was asked by Dr. Palai to stay down in Kumbakonam about 2 days ago or 3 days maybe. And so I said, okay, sure, no problem. I'll stay down here. And then that night he called and he said, no, pack your bags and you're going to Chennai. I said, okay. So that was a timeline jump. And so then it was about a 6-hour, 7-hour drive down to Chennai with a group of people. And then went to Chennai for, I don't know, maybe a day or less than a day. And ended up, you know, going to Astrovet and seeing everybody there, and then getting involved in a couple of projects that people wanted me to be a part of. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be here for a bit, and then we'll work together and do some things, create some things. And then that night, not even before the day was out, Dr. Palai called again, said, okay, get on a plane and go to Delhi. So here I am now in Delhi. And it's totally, we just finished up a meditation with the class, with the community here, and it was for pradosham. And pradosham is to the time to bust karma. And afterwards, everyone was just so happy to be reunited again. We were all happy because I'd spent some time with them before, and now spent some time away, and we're back again together and going to do some fabulous things, because Dr. Palai had been here in the meantime and he had been empowering everybody. And I just, when I walked into the room, I was like, oh my God, everybody is super charged. So, you know, being with Dr. Palai is not like being with any other teacher that I've known, at least in this lifetime. And we're so blessed. So everyone who is on this call and who also are in other programs, or you, we've met along the way, You know, you are so, just know that you're so blessed, and the energy that's coming through these time periods where Dr. Pillai can tune in and give us the blessings, because it's a spiritual master will, whoever tunes in to the teachings or to a group that comes together in his name or in the teachings, and they do the practices, and they have satsang together, which means just coming together and talking about spiritual stuff that you can't really talk about in your everyday life. So when he is when he knows that that is happening, he will empower everyone. So my timeline jump went to, you know, from three places to in the past few days. And in that time, I got really, really sick. And then again, because I was immersed in teaching the online courses, the Light Body Enhanced Program, I got on the call and people started saying, "Oh my God, Satruji, you sound horrible." And they said they would pray for me. So I had a call in the morning, and then 8 hours later, I had a call the next that same day, and in the same, and then people heard me again, and it was getting better. And now I feel like I'm almost back to normal. So that's how fast things can change. So if we are willing and ready to do what it is that inspires us to take the risk to do something different, to get unstuck, even if we said, okay, well, we're going to do this, and then we get in this mindset where, okay, I'm going to do this, and this is how long it's going to be, and then it gets ripped away from us, instead of like going, oh my God, it's so terrible, because that's what I felt like too. I felt, oh my God, what did I do wrong? How come he doesn't want me in Kumbakonam? All these stupid thoughts came up, and then I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to Chennai, and that's going to be better, and so then I was in Chennai, and it is better, and da, da, da. And then he said, okay, go to Delhi. And I was like, oh my God, he doesn't want me in Delhi. What am I going to do in Delhi? And then here I am now, and I'm with the community here. And everybody is excited about developing the community and developing the events, you know, having organized fire labs and other remedies and rituals here, and, you know, going on pilgrimages up here in the north. So so that's just what's been happening with me, and I see how when I try to do things my way, it can be okay. My will can, you know, having a willpower and saying, okay, well, I'll get up and get at it. But if there's something greater for me to do, the divine is going to say what it is. So, and then, too, going through that illness, it was an opportunity for me to really look at, oh, I better really take care of my health. I better really, you know, be on top of my game, because I can't afford to, you know, waste time or energy or my, you know, finances in my life. Because that's it, it's all together, right? Money, time is money, energy is money, and then if you don't have the time or the energy, you won't be able to work, and then you can't get paid. So it's so, so important. If you're not getting paid that what you feel that you deserve or that you would like to have in your life, then you got to look at what's happening with your time and what's happening with your energy. And so we had this Pradosham ritual, which is about, you know, getting rid of karma. It's on the 13th moon. It happens to be in Delhi. We just went through it. It's around sunset. And we were doing the meditation that I'm going to take you through now. For those of you who are coming from different parts of the world, you may have gone through Pradosham, or you may be just going through Pradosham. It doesn't matter, because when we are going to do the meditation, that's the state that you're going to be, because we're going to go above time. So we'll call in Kalabhairava, who is the god of time, and then we'll go out of this realm of time, and then we'll do a virtual ritual that will help to bring in that energy that will absorb all the negativity and then start us off with a fresh, clean slate. Because everything that we see outside of ourselves is a mere reflection of our consciousness. So it's a mirror, M-I-R-R-O-R. Sorry, my voice is a little bit off. So it's a mirror of what is within us. So if there's some nasty things that we don't see inside of ourselves, we will definitely see it in our life. So as I mentioned in the group discussion today with the group here in Delhi, one of the things that Dr. Pillai has said, if you are complaining about your life, which everyone has every right to, because it's, you know, life is tough. You know, there are things that are going on. We get challenged. We no matter what we do, we face these challenges, and it just seems like we can't break free. However, that is the moment, as Dr. Pillai says, people who are complaining, that means that their ego is in the way. And in fact, in a smaller group, he said, you have a big, fat ego. So all I had this visual of was, oh my God, there's this big, fat ego thing on me. Whenever I hear myself complaining, you know, about anything, about the weather, about someone who said something to me, someone who cut me a dirty look, someone who, you know, in my past who has bothered me, and I get triggered by something that happened, or maybe my family or friends, or, you know, just garbage. And it's like, how do we stop that? So doing these practices will help us, first of all, to see it. We don't even know that we are in it, because we will have justified why we complain. So if you're complaining and you're in your big fat ego, then that means the divine is just standing by waiting for us to come out of our little temper tantrum, or for some of us it's a big temper tantrum, and then so that we stop and we just say, oh my God, please take over, because I'm going to keep myself in the jungle down in Kumbakonam. That was what I was going to do. And then when I got pulled out of that, well, I'm just going to stay in Chennai. That's what I'm going to do. Nope. I got to be here. And I'm telling you, it's much, out of the three places, I'm so happy to be here. Not that I'm not happy to be in those other places, but really a lot of energy is here. A lot of joy is here right now. And maybe that's what my consciousness is telling me that I need to be doing at the soul level. Now, did I know that when I woke up a couple of days ago and was going to just be in a different place? No, did not. So, but then what we have to do, so all of everyone who's listening here, look in your life where you are complaining. And who cares? You know, don't feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just see it. And see it for what it is, and just know that it is complaining. And don't try to justify it, because it is what it is. And then go from that state to the state of breaking through with some karma-busting meditation or rituals that we'll talk about once we come out of our meditation. Because most likely some of the members will have questions about what to do during Pradosham time. And then we're also going to talk about, we have Radha, who is our astrologer here in the program. She's a Vedic astrologer, and she's going to give us the heads up about the sun transit and what area in our lives we can focus on so that we'll be in a natural state of karma busting. So we'll get into that once the meditation is finished. She will say, okay, this is the area that you need to focus on in your life that will be in alignment with the sun's energy, that brings you the intelligence, that brings you health and healing and well-being, and it lights your world up. Sun represents the soul. So we'll do some cleaning up. Then she'll give us the way to go easily in our lives in the next 3 weeks or so, because the sun transited last week on the 17th of September. It went into Virgo from Leo. So looking forward to hearing what that is going to be all about. And so we can set our goals accordingly. And then we'll be in a natural flow. All right. So let's, and then we're going to talk about the Navaratri. Oh my God. I have so much to say about that. It's incredible what's going to happen this year during Navaratri, which happens once a year. So nine nights of the goddess we're going to talk about. And hopefully some of you will be going off to see Dr. Pillai in New York today, I believe it is. If it's not happening already, because I'm on the other side of the world. So the 21st, somebody can tell me if that's true, if it's starting or if it's already in finished. We'll hear from people about that. And then he's going to be in Florida in for Navaratri, the first few nights of Navaratri. So thanks for joining those of you who need to go. Those of you who are going to stay, now we're going to go on and talk about the sun's transit. So Radha, if you are ready to do that, happy to have you join. And I'll have to put it on mute so that you can jump in. So, are you there, Radha?
Good morning, this is Radha.
Hey, Radha, how are you?
Good, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for a great meditation.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining and giving us the heads up for what it is that we can look forward to as the sun's transiting into the sign of Virgo.
Okay, sure. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
As we've mentioned before, the sun is our soul. It can also signify activity and the king, royalty consciousness, and our father. And each month the sun is transiting through a different zodiac sign, taking about 30 days each time. So sun transited into Virgo September 16th this past week, and he's going to be there through October 16th. And this is important because the sun really is a star that has a great deal of energy and light, which is higher consciousness. And the sun lights up whatever zodiac sign he's in for the month. So we're just going to talk a little bit about Virgo. And but just as a quick aside, it's kind of interesting we're doing this today because it's a Pratosham day. Definitely in North America, it's going to be Pratosham all day and through the sunset time, which is, you know, the most powerful time. So,
oh, good.
You know, yeah. So it's like every Pratosham day, you know, it's a chance to get a new beginning.
Mm.
Yeah, and you know, we could do the karma, busting, pouring the milk or water, orange juice over the Shivalinga, and making prayers to have our karmas dissolved and chanting the mantras. So, yeah, I don't know, it's always kind of nice. It can be intense sometimes, but it is a chance for a new beginning. And then, okay, so sun is in Virgo now, and Virgo is the most practical and detail-oriented of all the signs. It's ruled by Mercury, which is a planet of intelligence, wealth, business, communication. And the Sanskrit name for Virgo is Kanya, and the symbol is a virgin standing in a boat with grains in one hand and then a light in the other hand. And so the symbology of this, the virgin signifies purity and love of the goddess energy. Isn't that interesting that the nine nights of the goddess are going to be starting in like 3 days?
That's amazing. Yeah. I just had that thought. Like all these years we've been doing it, and no wonder, right? It makes sense that it's at this time of the year.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Because Virgo really is connected with goddess energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the grains that the girl has in her hand, grains are like the essential staff of life. And so Virgo is giving us the ability to be in touch with how to survive on the soul plane. And then in her other hand is a light. And light, as we know, is higher consciousness. It's the light of God. And so Virgo has a lot to do with seeking perfection through purification. You've heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. This is something definitely a person with a strong Virgo can relate to. And so Virgo is also bringing the characteristics of being detail-oriented, kind of like being salt of the earth person, being able to manage all the details, and impeccability, and also this drive for perfection. So, and there's also a love of beauty and the arts, there could be like seeking purity and perfection through cleanliness, good health, and proper diet and exercise. There's energies of creativity, philosophy, being sensitive and honest. So this could be a good time with the Sun of Virgo to focus on, there's some possible benefits to this transit, which would be it is a good time to focus on one's profession and in having success in litigation, becoming debt-free, and then health creation, or it may, enhancing our health. So it could be a good time to deal with conflicts, lawsuits, enemies, healing activities, and also a good time to focus on serving others and protecting others. It might even be issues of like self-defense or dealing with conflicts, as I mentioned. And it would be good to be careful not to spend too much or to do activities that might endanger your health. So it's kind of interesting that, again, we're still in the ancestors Mahalaya, but then we're going to be starting the nine ninths of the goddess. And that's all about the goddesses coming to the earth plane and killing demons and essentially cleaning up negativity, purifying. So it's very much in line with Virgo's characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Virgo is also the natural sixth house of the zodiac. And it'll be a different house for each of us, depending on what our personal birth chart is. It could be house 1 through 12. But for all of us and for the world as a whole, it is the natural sixth house. And the sixth house has to do with health and enemies, debts and litigation. So definitely some challenges there. But the good thing is it is one of the houses that can get better over time. Like you might have some of these challenges, but then one can overcome them. And when our sixth house is strong, it gives us the ability to overcome adversaries, and it gives us a strong health. And then it's also connected with professions of being a healer, like being a doctor, a nurse, or a holistic practitioner. And then a strong sixth house can give us ability to get rid of debts and then to have gains through our work efforts. And one of the remedies, by the way, to improve a weak sixth house is to do like the selfless service to others, and then also to propitiate Maruga, who's another warrior archetype of victory. So, again, this could be a good time to focus on service and then and just cleaning up things that need to be cleaned up, getting rid of the negativity. And it is a little bit complicated because Sun is in Virgo. There also Venus and Rahu are in Virgo, and Venus is debilitated in Virgo, meaning that Venus is weak. Now Venus is very much associated with the goddesses, so it's kind of interesting that on the first day of now Venus enters Virgo and gets debilitated, and so whenever a planet's debilitated.
Oops. Did you fall off there? Brother?
Oh, can you hear me
yeah.
now?
Yeah, come back. Yeah,
okay,
you're back.
Good. Okay, so debilitated Venus can cause stress and troubles. But the interesting thing is, I mean, when a planet is debilitated, it's like it falls down to Earth, and so it doesn't have that much power, but it's very accessible to us. So if we do remedies to that planet, like for example during the Navaratri, then it'll be extremely, extremely effective, and we can really forge a personal connection with that planet and to receive more blessings instead of troubles from the planet going forward.
Mm-hmm. Because it's closer to the Earth, you're saying.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing about debilitated planets. It's like it could cause some stresses and troubles, but it is like a really good opportunity too.
Mm-hmm.
And the other planet in Virgo is Rahu, and this is a very favorable position for Rahu, and it can tend to give us increases of wealth and physical comforts, friends, religious inclinations, and it can really accelerate our innovative thinking.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's interesting that this Navaratri is going to be strongly influenced by Virgo. And so the Astroved astrological research team has identified that this Navaratri, Goddess Durga is going to be extremely powerful, and she's going to be heavily influencing all nine nights of the goddess.
Wow.
Yeah,
because
see, Durga rules over Rahu.
Right.
And so Durga is a wonderful warrior goddess. And she rides on a lion, and she has about 10 arms, 8 or 10 arms, I'm not sure which, and each one is holding a different weapon. Some of them look like regular weapons that we know of, like a sword, a bow, and others are more like, they're like psychic weapons. Some of the weapons, yeah, could be... I don't even know all the names, but one of them is like a conch shell, and one of them is a trident.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like the ultimate warrior who could, who all the gods and goddesses called upon her to kill demons that were so strong that none of them could do it. None of the male gods could do it, even together. And so
the wrath of a woman.
Yeah. And they each of the gods gave her a weapon, and then she was able to have victory over the demons. So she's going to be just a very, very, very powerful this whole Navaratri. And Navaratri, again, this is when the goddesses are descending into the earth plane, and they basically are doing a huge cleanup job. They're destroying demons, and demons could be defined as anger, lethargy, poverty, ignorance, jealousy, greed, violence, etc. So it's going to be a powerful time. It's going to start in India time. It's going to be September 25th through October 3rd, so starting this week. And then North America, it's going to be September 24th through October 2nd. And so this is the time... this is a time to get to create a stronger connection with the goddess, because if our connection to the goddess is weak, then we suffer a lot more. We suffer financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, and so this is a great time to create a lifelong personal bond with the goddess. And so that's happening. And let's see here. We still have a few more days of Mahalaya still, and we're coming up. This Tuesday is going to be like the grand finale of Mahalaya, the ancestor time, because it's the new moon. And so definitely if you miss doing Tarpanam on any of the days of Mahalaya, this is the grand finale. Definitely it would be great to offer Tarpanam to the ancestors as much as possible on Tuesday. And... yeah, so we have a lot going on. And then just another thing, just really quickly, is the next three Saturdays are going to be our really powerful vortices for wealth creation. And it's because of the archetype Vishnu. And it's going to be very powerful because Saturn is ruling Saturdays, and he's still exalted. And these will be good Saturdays to honor Vishnu, and you can pray for blessings of long life, peace, prosperity, happiness, and especially October 4th is going to be a really strong one because it's going to be the 11th waxing moon, which is already Vishnu's, the time when Vishnu's energy comes to the earth plane. And at least in India, the star of the day will be Shravana, which is ruled by Vishnu. In the West, it's going to be. But so one can honor Vishnu through chanting his mantra, like Om Namo Narayanaya is a wonderful one. Some people might want to visit a Vishnu temple, or if they have one nearby. Or some people might want to, actually Astrovit has a little remedy, is to light a special lamp for Vishnu on those Saturdays. It's like a rice lamp, they call it. And this light is said to invoke Vishnu on these special Saturdays, and it removes all negativity in your home. And I tried this yesterday, and it was really powerful, actually. You make a little lamp. You just form it out of rice flour and some cardamom powder and some ghee, which is the clarified butter, some water, and some jaggery, which is similar to brown sugar. And you kind of, like, mix it in a paste and form a little cup, a little that you use as a lamp, and you fill it with ghee, put a wick in it, and just let it burn. And it was really neat. It brought in a neat energy.
Ah.
So it's a lot. Sorry, it's a lot. It's a lot to talk about this month. We have a lot going on. But
oh my gosh,
the overview.
Yeah. Well, it's a great overview, and these are always so enlightening. I mean, astrology is all about Jyotish, which is light. It lights up areas of our life that we can focus on. So what I'm getting from what you've shared today, Radha, and thank you so much for it, is that sixth house matters, meaning the area in our life that we can focus on most is health and well-being. So like you said, maybe our thoughts will be more inclined to looking after our health, so our mental, our physical, our spiritual, our emotional well-being. And then also, when we look after our health, then we have more energy, and because sixth house is also related to enemies, so we will know when to, put our energy towards, conflict, staying away from conflict, but also know which battles to fight and which ones we should just, back off of, and then allow this goddess energy that's coming in for Navaratri to come in and do the battling for us. You know, as humans, we think, oh my God, we have to do it all by ourselves. No one is going to help us. I don't get the support from my family, my friends, my colleagues or whoever it is. When they need it, I'm there for them. But then when I need it, I don't have it. Well, the divine is always there. You know, we've been raised with that, and we didn't believe it, some of us. But now we're at the point in our lives, and especially being with Dr. Pillai, it's not so much a belief. You just have to go and do the thing. So having this kind of heads up of the area in our lives, right now everyone is naturally going to be focused on sixth house matters. Sixth house is your health, it's enemies, it's debt, it's litigation. So those are kind of scary things for some of us if we have to look at it. But as you said, Radha, that over time, and when you call in the goddess energy or call, do your meditations or do these practices or just knowing, keeping this in mind, that this is a time where you can grow in strength. So this house will grow in strength over time, and over your awareness or through your awareness of putting your attention to that. Now, if you go and put your attention to other things, you'll maybe not be in a natural flow. But so this energy that's available right now will help us to be able to discern what I need to focus on right now, what's going to take away my energy, or what's going to give me energy. So if one thing is that you can focus on is your health, because health is wealth. Health gives you energy, it gives you power, you feel empowered when you're healthier. You present yourself more when you're well, when you're happy, and when you're healthy, so people are more receptive to you, so that you're this presence that people maybe are forced to be reckoned with if you have to deal with a litigation, or if you have to deal with getting your debts in order, because sometimes our debts are related to our families, right? Our spouses, or situations that we've got ourselves into. If we loan money and they're not paying it back, or something like that, or you've borrowed money and you can't pay it back, so it's going to be a little bit conflicting. But it's a time to get it resolved, is what I'm hearing from you. Is that right, Radha?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely a time to focus. It's about victory.
Yeah.
The goddess brings supreme victory, and it's like these nine nines of the goddess can be so, at least for me, they can be so intense. It's just like an energetic battle is going on. And but then the tenth night, Vijaya Dasami, it's like celebrating the victory of the goddess over all of the dark forces of ignorance, of poverty, lethargy, anger, violence, anything like that is like personified as a demon.
Yeah, because that's what gets us into trouble, isn't it? When we're not paying attention to details, or we're being lazy or procrastinating, or we're angry at someone so we don't want to resolve an issue in our lives, or if we're frustrated, or if we don't have any will or energy. So the goddess is there to destroy all that and then create this fresh new slate where we can look at our lives and say, okay, no one is responsible for my life. We say that to ourselves. That's the first thing. And that's what the goddesses will help to do too, is get us out of denial. So denial is that we're blaming somebody else. And of course, everyone can do that. But what's the point of that? That's only going to keep us from moving forward. So at some point in our lives, we will have to take full responsibility and say, yes, these things have happened. However, it's the goddess energy. And for those people who are wondering, what's this goddess energy? It's that feeling inside of yourself that says, you know what? This is not nurturing anymore. This is not good for you anymore. So you need to get some support to battle through it, but don't put too much external force out there, too much, battling, like as in getting angrier to overcome anger. You want to do the other thing, which is to get angry enough so that you say, okay, I'm tired of being angry. And then you have to get motivated enough to say, I'm tired of being tired and bored with my life, and so on. Or depression is another one that the goddess roots out and says, enough, stop being depressed. Because depression is also a sign that the energy is just so low, you can't move anymore. You can't go forward with your life anymore. So and then the psyche says, yes, of course, how could you move forward? You're so low, you know, for whatever reason. And not to say that it's, it is very debilitating for some, but there will be a point in your life, and if you tune into the goddess, she will just tell you, this is it, and you've got to root that out, get to the root of it, and energetically release yourself from it. And so when we go through these nine nights and you're doing the chants, for Durga or Lakshmi or Saraswati over the nine nights, and you can look at YouTubes. There's tons of YouTubes about the mantras for Durga and Lakshmi and Saraswati. There you can also join the fire labs that are offered through Pillai Center. There's a conference call that Babaji or Dr. Pillai is going to give as a 9 nights initiation. So if you get initiated with Dr. Pillai during the 9 nights, that whole year for you will be totally full of willpower and energy and empowerment to move forward in your life with greater ease and grace. And so that's going to be available through Pillai Center. There's going to be a webcast as well in that package. And then one of the things that Dr. Pillai has given me so gracious, because he knows that people can't afford to go to the 5 days seminar, which is held in Florida, Boca Raton, Florida. And it's a retreat that a lot of people are going to. I heard it's pretty going to be a pretty rocking time. And it's from the 25th to the 29th, I believe. And people have been saying, oh, gosh, you know, I can't afford the time to take off work or my, you know, my home life, things like that. I really, really want to go. And then also there's the financial commitment that is also there, and I can't leave, you know, my family alone or something like that. So Dr. Pillai heard all this feedback, and he said, okay, I'll offer you to come for 2 nights. So if you're interested in doing that, you haven't been able to do the 5 nights, there is a 2-night offering that you can go to. And how you find out more about that or which 2 nights you can go to, because I don't know which nights are available or which nights you're available. So you can send an email to office at Pillai Center, and then they will connect you with you know, the hotel and all the rest, and get registered for the 2 days that you want to go, if that's something that works for you. But I totally, I wish I could have been there. I am where I am because I'm supposed to be here, and you are where you are because you're supposed to be there as well. So don't be too stressed out if you can't make it either. But I just wanted to mention that that just became available. And you may not know about it because I just found out about it myself. So that's available. The teleconference initiation is available. And it's something that, you know, both Radha and I have been studying with Dr. Pillai for many, many years. And every time that the 9 nights of the goddess come around at this point of time in the year, so much, as Radha had said, it's intense. But it's also, you can feel the karmas shifting that much faster. So yes, it feels intense, but then as we come out of it, it's such a cleansing process, and there's so much more freedom with the rest of the year. And then as the years go on with the initiation or the empowerments of the goddess, you start to see it in your life, how that energy is more nurturing, it's more empowering. You can do more things that you haven't been able to do, and you feel the goddess energy coming in and helping you to, you know, rise above petty situations that have dragged you down in the past. And energetically, you feel more free to move in your life and then to create, because the goddess is all about creation. It, you know, that energy wants you to have clarity. And so in order to have clarity, we need to get rid of the negativity. You know, it's kind of like it creates a big cloud, and we're in a fog, or we're in a funk, you know, and how to get out of that. And then the goddess is really emotional. So if you find that you're really emotional over the next few days, it's because we're coming into that time, Navaratri, where you want to bring these emotions to the surface to be dissolved away. So just a heads up, if you know that you're going to be emotional during this time, if you're, you know, hypersensitive like I can be at times as well, where I'm just sensitive to everything. And it's kind of like a, you know, can feel things that I don't normally feel, but at this time of the year, they become really prominent and kind of annoying. So just know that during Nine Nights of the Goddess, you want to maybe go more internally. So spend more time to take care of yourself. So, you know, treat yourself to, you know, some goddess-type things. So, you know, if you can afford to have a massage, have a massage. You know, at least you can afford some time at home and have a spa time at home where you're just having a 20-minute bath or something like that. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female, take care of yourself. That's what the goddess is telling you. You know, spend less time interacting with others who you know are going to be complaining, you know, because you don't have to be immersed in that energy. It's all about, you know, paying attention to care for yourself. Because if you don't care for yourself, then how can you expect to care for others, for one, and how can you expect others to be receptive to you if all you're doing is not caring and then there's complaints and things like that? So we want to get out of that vicious cycle. That's what this battle is all about at this time of the year. It's a spin cycle that we all go through, and not only individually, but you'll see it in the rest of the world. Look what's happening in the rest of the world. It's crazy wartime. So that's just an indication that the goddess is really upset that we're killing each other. We should not be killing each other. We know that. That's common sense, but we are. And then if we aren't in a full-blown physical war where there's bombs going off and terrible things going on, we are in a psychic world where we're, you know, psychically attacking each other. So catch yourself. So spend this next 9 nights or 10 nights to just go internally and clean up and just take care. Go cocoon even, you know, where you just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go and do my work. I'm going to do my work and take care of my family and the things that I need to do, but I need to take a time out for myself. And then if you can, as Dr. Pillai has said over the years, if you at midnight or at least past 9 o'clock p.m., maybe up until around midnight, some people can go all the way through the night and still get up and go to work in the day. If you can pay attention to those goddesses during the time, because that's the nighttime is when the goddess energy is really alive. So if you can do mantras during that time or offer red flower petals to Durga, pink flower petals to Lakshmi, and then white to Saraswati. You chant their mantras, you know, Kleem, Shreem, Aim. Those are very simple words to say to those three goddesses, because the mantra is the goddess. So even if you don't know anything more about it, you just say those three sounds, the first three days is Kleem, the second three days is Shreem, and then the third three days is Aim, and we'll put that on the blog. But just going to Pillai Center, go to the YouTube, and you just put in Nine Nights of the Goddess, and a bunch of videos will come up, and you can just watch those even. You know, if you can't afford to do any of the other things, then do things that are free. And there's so many things, so many teachings that Dr. Pillai has put out over the years, and so many that we have learned over the years, but we, you know, we forget or we don't do it all year round. This is the time to pull out that kit bag and say, this is the spiritual tool that I need to use at this point in time. And then that will get you, you will feel protected, for one, energetically. And another is that you will start to do things in your life that will be more in alignment with the goddess. So the goddess is there to fight on your behalf. So you don't have to, right? And people will not pick fights with you, but they'll push your buttons. So watch yourself. You might be really triggered by things. Just know that it's this time of the year, and don't be like a fish and grabbing the hook, you know. Don't get sucked into it, as they say in the West, because you'll get like a vacuum. It'll just suck you in, and then you'll just be in a big dirt bag. So who wants to be like that? You know, it's always a choice. So goddess energy is really, really important. to pay attention to and to, you know, get prepared, because as Radha was saying about Maruga's energy is going to be coming up, Skanda Shasti, and that's going to be coming up after Navaratri. So and that will be really empowering, even more so than the goddess, because a lot of the battling has been done, and it's within us, right? We all chose to incarnate into our life in a certain family and in a certain place, you know, on the globe. Why are some of us in war-torn places? Why are some of us in heavenly places? Why are some of us everywhere in between, or anywhere in between? It's because that's what our soul wanted to experience. So if you're not thriving in some place where you find yourself, wherever you are in the world, then there are things that you can do to move yourself out of that situation. And if you can't physically move yet, then this going in and allowing this energy to come in, the goddess energy, she will help you to see. Because the goddess is not outside of us. It's within us. It's that feminine energy that says, stop suffering. I want to just hold you like a baby and take care of you. And a lot of us we may find ourselves resolving issues with our mothers. And we may be having to resolve issues with females in our life. There's a great Google Hangout that Mohini and Jairada did, and it's one of the best that I've seen in a long, long time. They're all great, but this is, I guess, because it's the goddess coming through. And there's really easy, practical tips that they have outlined. And one of the first things is to know that the goddess, if you don't know anything about the goddess, this is the first thing. Is there joy in your life? And like real joy, like bubbling up joy, like your stomach hurts from laughing, or you just feel blissful. Like, how many of us say that on a day-to-day basis? I don't know. So ask yourself that. But watch this video. It's so great. It's a Google Hangout, actually. So watch it. I just watched it a few hours ago, and I was so delighted about it. But one of the main things that Mohini had shared, and Jairada had shared, because they were having a back-and-forth conversation, and it was, if there are women in your life that you have not yet had a beautiful relationship with, then it's time to clean it up, because women represent the goddess. So there's something, maybe in past lives, maybe in this life, we had a rough start where we didn't trust, and we have to do it again. Otherwise, we're blocking the goddess. So whether you're a male or a female, if you can see in your life the issues with your mother, your sisters, your coworkers, your clients, or, you know, customers, anyone in your life, even at the grocery store, at the bank, or at the gas station, like everywhere you go in your life, the coffee shop, you know, those places that we go every day, if you are not smiling and you're full of joy to see another female, or a male who radiates that kind of goddess-type energy that's loving and caring, and they can look as masculine as anything, but they're just very comforting and happy to be around, and not you know, putting any negative energy out, or putting energy out that's belittling you, or, you know. So look at everyone as the goddess. And this is the time to really see it. You'll really see the goddess energy during these 9 nights. So watch the video, and there's, I think it's called five ways that you'll know that the goddess isn't in you, or something like that, or five tips. It's great. I was laughing all the way through it, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, these are such easy things to do, to identify. First of all, if the goddess is not with us every day, or we're not acknowledging the goddess in others every day. And then five really easy things to do to get it back. So it's not like big, huge, major shifts and revelations and breakthroughs and all that stuff, although for some of us it might be. For myself, I was really enlightened by a couple of the things. So the goddess is really alive, and the goddess is really wanting this earth plane to become, you know, heavenly. Because no woman wants to have, like, a nightmarish life. You know, guys are more inclined to have, you know, battling and stuff like that because it's, you know, macho. Although, you know, I'm not saying that all men do, but that's the traditional sense, and that's what we've been raised in for so long. So it's coming around now that the goddess energy is like, no, we can't, otherwise we're going to destroy this whole planet. We're going to destroy each other, and that's just not, it can't happen. So look in your life where you have been ignoring the goddess, starting with yourself. So today is a new start. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Find something beautiful about yourself. Look at your beautiful eyes. Look at your beautiful skin, your smile, your hair. And this is guy or girl. Take 10 seconds to look and say, okay, you know what? I've been not paying attention to you, and I need to really do that. Because the goddess is within and is trying to come and show you what you've been ignoring. And some people might have an experience where they don't feel loved, or they don't feel the joy, or they're in so much pain for so long. That's the goddess. So just know that the goddess is expressing herself to you. And then you go a step further and you say, but this is what I'm going to do for myself. So, you know, and then those kinds of things, you can, when you watch that video or the webcast, the Google Hangout, you know, it's really simple things. You know, just do little simple things to take care of yourself, and then more will come. So, I think I've said a lot, and it's time to open the line. Radha, do you have anything more to say, to share?
No, thanks. I think I'm done.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that heads up. And it's not going to be just for these 9 nights. Like the sun in Virgo is going to keep telling us, you know, up until the mid-month, right, mid-October, that we've got to keep paying attention to this energy that is trying to purify our body, our mind, and our soul. Okay. There was one more thing. Yeah, because I would just wrote down healing here that you had said. So there's a goddess that Dr. Pillai had identified last year, and it was during his birthday, and it was in Rameshwaram. And there's a temple there for the goddess Nambu Nayaki. And Nambu Nayaki is energy that Dr. Pillai has revived, and this temple is come alive, and this goddess is come alive, this energy. And what this goddess does is she heals. So she has been woken up, that energy has been woken up in one of Dr. Pillai's students for a long time, students, and her name is Beth Damaris, and she's got the goddess Nambu in her. And out of it, for that past year, Dr. Pillai has been empowering Beth for many years, bringing the goddess. And this is the goddess that's really coming through strong and easily through Beth. And she has now started a company called Nambu Botanicals. And it's herbs that are healing herbs. And so she's going to be, and that's Dr. Pillai's director of that, and she's helping to bring that out to the public, all the products and all the services. And then also through Pillai Center, she's putting on a program So she may come as a guest here. Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll ask her to come as a guest and then speak to everyone about the healing that she can do bringing this goddess energy to people. So she may do readings or it may be an online course. But if you go on to PalaiCenter.com and then just put into the search box Nambu Naiki or Nambu, A-N-A-N as in Norman, and then A-M as in Michael, and B as in Bob U. So N-A-M-B-U. And then it will bring it up, the link, the store page, and then you can read about it. And if you're so inclined, you can, register for the program, and then I believe she'll be contacting people individually, or I don't know. I just saw it. So it seems to me that it's coming out right at the time where the goddess energy is quite alive, and it's also healing energy. So, why didn't it happen sooner? Why is it happening right at this point in time? So Dr. Ply does everything so precisely. He does everything to be in alignment with the time Shakti so that you're not doing things out of time or going against the grain, in an unnatural flow to the flow of life. So these are the kinds of things that Dr. Ply will lay out for us, and then we can do programs. You can register for programs, or you can get services that are going to help you to heal in your life. So that's available, and that is quite timely because it's all about healing. And for these next 18 months with Rahu just transiting into Virgo, there's going to be a lot of healing on the planet and innovative healing. So healing that's foreign to, say, the traditional allopathy of the West, or even the traditional Ayurveda or healings that have been done over the years, they will take effect in a very new and innovative way. So maybe new surgeries will come out where there's less, recovery time. The recovery is faster and less pain that people have to go through. Maybe there's medicines that are going to be revealed to cure some really terrible and debilitating diseases. So that there will be cures for things. So that's why we want to pray to the goddess, especially as Radha was saying, the goddess Durga, during these nine nights, because Durga is the overlord of Rahu, and so she will really empower Rahu. She's like the CEO of the company telling the director of the company, hey, you better get going here and get this done. And then so on goes down the road. So down the ranks, I mean. And then so over these 18 months, we'll probably see or hear from, people who have had some miraculous healings, which is so fantastic. I love hearing that. So I think that's what this is all about this week and the couple weeks ahead for the heads up of the transit. I'm going to just ask anyone who wants to share any of their experiences or ask a question about anything that we've shared so far. You just press *6 and then that should get you online. Do I have it on the right? I didn't change anything. Is there somebody who wants to just press *6 to say, yeah, it works? I don't know if you're in information overload. Sorry about that. Actually, I'm not sorry. It's great. There's a lot.
Hi, Suchita. This is Indrani. Hi. It's working.
The goddess queen of heaven. Yes, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Great. Tell us.
During the meditation that you did just now, I go very deep, it seems like lucid dreaming. But I'm really conscious. I'm still like awake when it happens, but I've gone somewhere else. In this particular meditation here, I had a conversation with Baba. And the sad part about it is I don't remember what the conversation was, but I do recall having a conversation with them.
Okay. Did you feel it or you just had the memory of it?
No, I experienced him being in the room with me. And I remember one sentence that he said to me, which was, "That's a stupid question to ask."
Okay.
But
you don't remember the question.
No, I don't remember anything but that. I remember him being in the room with me, and it was this room right here, this living room that I'm in my living room right now with my cat, and he was right here with me.
Okay. And is that an unusual thing, or is that kind of freaking you out, or what
do
you...
No, I'm not freaked out about it at all. I'm actually quite excited about it, but I am...
Okay.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's not the first time that it's occurred. My challenge always is that I remember these things, or I'm conscious, actually, I become conscious to them a little bit too late. Like, I became conscious to this, like, as it was ending, this particular experience here just now.
So what does it tell you about how you are being from hereafter, or kind of like giving you a heads up? What's the omen, so to speak?
Well, you know, the only thing that I am focused on in my life right now is finding a job.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that I've been asking myself in this past week, especially in my job search, is there's something that I'm doing that isn't the right thing to be doing, or there's something I'm not doing, there's something I should be doing that I'm not doing, or something like that.
And is that a good question to ask yourself now?
I think he's telling me that that's not the right question to be asking myself.
So maybe when, like they say in India, there's a saying in India that I never got for quite a while, because they said, "Ma'am, do you have any doubts?" And I'd be like, "No, I don't doubt anything." But a doubt means question. And it makes sense, right? So if we're questioning too much, then we're trying to find fault, like something's wrong with what we're doing, then we're actually creating... And I'm not saying this is you, but I'm just saying, because you triggered that in me, when I was going in my little tailspin in the past couple of days going, "Oh, what did I do wrong that he's taking me out of, he's asking me to leave this place?" And then I just did it within 6-hour drive. I did something wrong again. And, you know, and then again, I'm into a different, but here's the thing is that it's so silly to have those kinds of questions, because those actually create blocks on our path,
right?
You know, so yeah. Maybe that's something that came to the surface that has been deep inside. And you, if you want to trailblaze backwards, you'll probably see that that was the modus operandi for a long, long time. Right.
Right.
So, and then that is something that just has to finish, you know. That's, he's just bringing it to the surface to say, "That's a stupid question. Don't ask it anymore."
Yeah.
Right? Because there's nothing wrong. You are doing everything right. And when now we just call on the goddess and just say, "Okay, I am not going to go into that spin cycle anymore, or into that modus operandi. I'm just going to go to, I've got the job." You know.
Well, so I think it's also, the whole thing is all very interesting as well, or curious, or that's, everything seems so strange to me or unusual to me, because when you were talking earlier, you said, you know, we always have this thought that we have to do everything ourselves. We can't rely on anybody else. So I often have a dilemma between trusting that everything is happening in the way that it should, versus I've got to intervene, I've got to do the right thing, I've got to do something. I've got to take action in some way. Not, and I'm not saying that I don't think I should be taking action, but more like I try to, I think it is subvert what is the, you know, the, just the will, or the, I want to say God's will, but I don't mean God's will, like the thing that's supposed to happen in the natural progression of things for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did any of that make any sense at all?
Absolutely. It's always a battle, isn't it? And So there comes a time in the battle where you just have to take a break. Right, you just have to take a rest from it,
from the battle.
You just rest a little bit because you know, already life is a battle. You know, there's forces every day that seen or unseen. You're challenging your karma, and I'm so glad that you're speaking right now, because you of all people have challenged your karma so much in a very short period of time that it's quite miraculous when we finally are going to get to tell your story, the full story for everybody. But just for those people who are listening right now, you know, Indrani is coming to a point in her life where she's saying, okay, I've been battling and battling and battling, and the only thing that I can recommend for you to do, Indrani, is just to relax. You know, when we relax and we take action, it's not like you're going to just go to sleep until you get a job. You're going to do those things, but you're going to relax in it. You're going to be more natural in it. And then just go with the flow, because the divine is coming towards you, but maybe you want it in a certain way, just like I wanted to do what I wanted to do, but then that wasn't the place that I was going to do it in, or the situation that I was going to do it, or the job I was going to do, or the service, or whatever. So leaving yourself open to the divine is going to be the best thing. And right now we're in Mahalaya. So there's a lot of ancestors that are probably for you, because I know you're praying really hard to your ancestors, for you is that you've got to get all those ducks in line, so to speak. So all of them have to be lined up. And then when they just are all freed and ready to bless you, it's going to be big blessings, right? There's nothing any of us are doing wrong if you're taking the action. We just have to relax more into receiving. We're so busy trying to go out and get. So just keep your hands open and just be ready to receive. Because that getting, you'll miss the hands being filled if you're just going too fast, right? Like too much energy going out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, there's a couple of things that are going on energetically. One is ancestors, and then the next is the goddesses. And it's a total, it's almost like our soul is crying out to say, you got to show me how to do this. And when it's so intense like it is for you and like for a lot of us, it just means that we will never forget this. We will never forget that really it is the divine that's saying how it's going to go, how it's all going to unfold. And it's always going to unfold beautifully. It's always going to be a better thing when we let go and let God or goddess, as they say, or as the saying goes. So if we find ourselves struggling and or fault-finding, then we are actually in that human mode that says, forget about it. You know, there's no way, right? Or, you know, what else can I do and things like that. You're asking the right question, but then surrender it to the divine to come in and answer it, right? So for you, I know what works for you is your meditations. You know, you go to church and you sit in front of Mary. She's the goddess. That will really help you.
Right. She's the goddess. I don't know why. I often forget that. Now, you know, Navaratri is always one of my most favorite times of the year to celebrate the goddess and to allow the goddess to do what she does here on Earth, not just for myself, but for everybody. For me, it's always such a joyful time, both the spring and the fall Navaratri. And so then, as far as the relationship between Mary, the Virgin Mother, and the goddesses from the Hindu tradition. So it would be appropriate then, I guess, for me to acknowledge Mary all throughout Navaratri, right, as well as all the other goddesses that we honor during Navaratri.
Absolutely. Whoever you resonate with, it can be saints, it can be, gurus who have gone before us, who are females, or it can be any goddess of any culture, religion, you know, Greek goddesses, Roman goddesses, the goddesses of South America, Europe, you know, whatever you were raised in, whatever tradition that resonates with you or is calling to you, please go ahead, because that's really what your soul is thirsty for,
right.
To do that, whatever you're longing for. And then again, as Dr. Pillai said, and when you, you know, watch that hangout with Mohini and Jayarada, it's every woman, starting with yourself. So really the goddess is quite alive in ourselves, and then and quite alive in other women, or not just in women, but in men who are very nurturing, and you see the goddess in them. You know, and then that... that trust comes back, that grace comes back, that love, that unconditional support. That's what we want to resonate with, not nervous energy and panicking and something's wrong and where I'm upset. Like, all that energy creates a congestion, whereas love overcomes all of it. It just pervades through and through. So to get out of our own way and let the goddess, however she's going to show up, whether it's in a human form, a divine form, a historical form, a natural form. You know of all people, when we were doing fire labs in Toronto, there was, whenever we'd do a fire lab for the goddess, the rain would come, or there would be a big bang. You know, the goddess was just like, I'm going to tell you, I'm here.
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know.
Yeah.
So just get into that state. The first state that you know that of being is emotion. And the best emotion to resonate with the goddess is joy. So
right.
So get into that state of joy. Whatever, you know, rocks your soul or rocks your heart, in a way that a goddess mother would, or a mother would to the child. You know, you don't have to have children to nurture. You just start to nurture other people. And how you can do that is very simply just saying, oh, you look beautiful today. Or I love your hair. Or, you know, I love your outfit. Then you're acknowledging the goddess. You might not go up to a stranger and do that. It might be a little bit weird, but you can just admire that in your thoughts. Or you can admire beauty in your surroundings. Even if you're in, you know, an environment that's not, you'll find something that in that environment, say, that little plant that's popping out of the cement. You'll say, wow, that's beauty. That's nature. Just, you know, overcoming all odds. So, or you'll see an animal or something. Like, look for the goddess. Put your goddess glasses on. and then how to apply that to your situation. You look at all those jobs and go, who would I be in that position? And then all of a sudden that will draw you to them. And then that will come around for you. It's happening. It's happening, Indrani.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's about it for me.
Great.
This week.
Anything? This week. Stay tuned. Well, the great thing is we'll be in the goddess still, Navaratri, next Sunday too, so we'll be able to find out what people have been doing and the experiences that everyone has been going through, which we'll share with everyone. So hopefully you'll have some really wonderful things to share as well.
I hope so. Thanks, Sucharita.
Okay, Andrani, have a great week, and God bless you. Goddess bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, and you too.
Thanks. So it's a great question that Andrani asked, because Mother Mary is just, for those people who resonate with Mary, it's such a beautiful energy. And so pray to Mary, even if you don't know the prayers. You can Google it. Or go to a church and just sit in the church just and radiate with that energy. If that's what resonates with you, you know, if that's what moves you, then do that. Or any goddess that you want to propitiate is fine. Is there anyone else who wants
Hello?
To share anything? Yes.
Hi, Sucharita. It's Wayne.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
One thing, some feedback. I don't know how other people are feeling this, but every time that I'm on the call and the meditation is finished, it really puts me in a deep state of silence, almost to the point that I I just have a hard time coming out and speaking. I just want that silence to be there. So I don't know if it's a consequence of so many people being on the call at once or what, but just to let you know that it's working.
Oh, it's working, or it's disturbing?
Oh, no. Well, it's working, but then afterwards, if we have to speak, whatever, it's...
I see what you mean. Okay.
You know, it's just pleasant to stay in that. It's like I don't want to move afterwards. But that's okay. I mean, I'm happy to speak. It takes me a little bit of time to come out of it. But I just want to let you know that I do feel a really deep silence during these group meditations. So probably a consequence of there being so many people. But I didn't know if you knew that experience was happening, and maybe that's one reason why people don't always speak up when you're asking for comments.
Right. Well, that's a good heads up. And maybe, you know, in the future, like in the next call, just give a little bit more time for people to just come around. And, you know, as I mentioned, though, anyone can interrupt me at any time. But it's good. So when you're in that state of silence, like you said, or that deep state, what does that mean for those people who don't understand what that means? What does it do for you?
Well, that is... I came from the TM movement, and they talked a lot about that. That's what they term transcendental consciousness, which just means transcending activity. There's no you're in a state where there is no activity, which is like the state of Akasha, and that's the most powerful state, because from there, when you think a thought or take an action such as a mantra or a sutra, then manifestation of that is quick. It's more powerful. The other states of consciousness that they talk about are cosmic consciousness, which is the next state of consciousness up, which means that that silence that you experience during meditation is carried into daily activity, and then and when it is there in its completeness, it means that you're acting from that state of silence 24 hours a day, or your whole life is then in a state of silence, and you're acting from that, which makes you very powerful, which makes your actions and your thoughts, everything you do, is easily manifested. There's two higher states beyond that. One is God consciousness, and then unity consciousness. And I always get the two confused. I'm not sure which is which, but in one of them, I believe that you realize that you are God, and the other one, you feel everything that you see and touch and feel or experience is all you. I had an unusual experience years ago, probably 30 years ago. I don't even remember. I think I just started meditating. I don't know that I attribute the experience to that or not, but I was in a large commercial hardware store, like Home Depot or one of those, and it wasn't that particular one because they didn't exist at that time, but I had come out of one of the aisles, and I was moving. I was in the aisle that the cash registers are all in. They're a big line of cash registers, and I was getting into that to get into a line, and I looked to one side of me, and I saw all these people coming down this main aisle, all getting ready to go into the cash registers, and when I looked, it was all me, which was an interesting experience. I understood what it was, but it was just kind of caught me off guard. But it was clearly all myself.
Mm.
So you, I think the significance of that is that you have to understand that all the world around you that you exist in is it's all you, and for that reason, you should be able to make it the way you want, and also for that reason, you should be non-judgmental and non-critical. Otherwise, you're criticizing yourself and hurting yourself. You know, the Bible talks about that. It's not yours to be judged, a judge, because you really at the lower levels or the less developed levels of consciousness, you do not know anything about what another person's life is, and plus it's a reflection of you anyway. So, I mean, past lifetimes or whatever makes people do what they do, and there again, that all exists as part of you. There is, by the way, kind of related to that, in the Bhagavad Gita, and I've only read this, the first six chapters, but as translated by Maharishi, but in some place in the later 12th chapter or something like that, Krishna, who is Arjuna's charioteer, is teaching him. You know, they're on the battlefield, and Arjuna is, just to set the stage here, Arjuna is having to go to war. It's a story of two kings who are brothers, and they get in a fight, and they split, and they're going to go to war with each other. Well, Arjuna is an enlightened warrior, and he's torn between duty, which he trained his whole life to be an archer, and in the life of an enlightened archer, wherever he points the bow, the arrow goes. Between that duty and the need to kill his own relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the that's the dilemma. It's the same dilemmas that we face in life. That just happens to be set in that way so that it makes it very clear. And then Krishna is his charioteer, and it Arjuna begins a conversation with him of how do I know what is the right thing to do? So the answer comes after six chapters, and that is what Dr. Pillai has talked about, that established in yoga, perform action. So the yoga is the union, the silence, because in that higher state, you can't go wrong. You perform actions that are right. So anyway, at some point farther on, Krishna reveals to Arjuna the reality of life, and in that, all things are happening all at once, past, present, and future. And it's so difficult for Arjuna to have that in front of him. It's so far from what his, even as an enlightened warrior, it's so far from his consciousness to try and grasp that he asks Krishna to take it away.
Mm.
So all that kind of gets back to, like people being stuck in situations that they are finding a hard time getting out of. Those situations are, we have created them by being born at the time when the planets would be the right thing for us to, in order to sort of shake us loose from the consciousness that we think we're in this little world that's ours. That is not, that has all these little boundaries that we're stuck with. I had an interesting experience, another interesting experience related to this one. A couple of years ago, I was going camping with my son. We were going to drive to this location in the mountains, you know, probably 6 hours away or so. And in the course of doing that, I just had this feeling that the only thing that existed was my home back where we were coming from and the camping ground and the road in between, and everything outside of that was non-existent. So it was just like this was my creation. And it just came to me as a clear vision. And so it's just another pointer that sometimes we get that it's just the world that we live in is all that we created, whether it's being not enough money or not having, you know, employment or not having the right relationship, all this. It's there to help us get out of it, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's there to say, hello, do you want to still do this, right?
Yeah, yeah, you want to wake up or not?
Yeah.
You want to go on suffering?
Yeah, but some people are afraid, so because then what to do? Who am I then in all of it?
I don't think that, yes, right, I don't think that people realize, and this is probably the result of Kali Yuga, that fear is a very big thing in many people's lives. Years ago, I had a reading, several readings through a channel who channeled an enlightened master who, he was an ascended master, and maybe people have heard of him. His name is Dwal Kul. You can look him up on the internet. And he told me that he made me aware of the fear in my self, and I never really thought about it, but as soon as he told me, I realized it had been a pervasive part of my life, and I was actually, at the time, I was preparing to take another job. I was trying to make the decision as to whether I should take another job that had been offered me because I'd been with the same company for 15 years, and he told me that that he couldn't, he knew, but he couldn't tell me because it was for me to make that, I needed to make that that decision. But I knew he was real because I mentioned that I'd been working for this company for a long time, and then he mentioned the number of years on his own, and I thought, that doesn't sound right. I thought I'd been working there 15 years, and he said 16. So after the session was over, I went back and counted, and it was 16. So I knew it was a real experience that proved the accuracy of it. So so many people, I believe, have fear in them, and I think it's the not knowing that's on the other side. On this side, on the, what's on the other side of that boundary, on this side of the boundary, we're very secure, even if it's something that we're not happy with. We know it. We know every aspect of it, every detail of it, and that's very comforting, even though it might be uncomfortable or not something pleasant, but it's not the unknown. So the unknown is maybe where some of that fear comes in, but you have to step outside of it, and sometimes you'll find that when you step outside of it, when you just make that decision to step outside of it, it just suddenly it disappears. That fear that you had, it turns into nothing because you made the decision to face it. And just making that decision, it makes it go away. And so, you know, and I can't say that that's going to be, that's not an easy way out. I mean, I have fears that I deal with that, that I find, are things I still have a hard time stepping into. But I know there's other ones that I have overcome, and it's so I just thought, other people should maybe consider that may be helpful to them. And then one other thing, not to go on too long here, but about belief, in Mary or Jesus or Shiva or whatever, all those entities, the only reasons that people don't consult them freely is simply left over from the power struggles among various religions, because the many of the priests, and not all of them, of course, but many of them that rose to power, were it was a power struggle. Religion was the politics of times past, and so they're the ones who have and there again the overshadowing of Kali Yuga through time to keep the ignorance there keeps us thinking that, well, I can't believe in that person, I can't believe in or this entity or that entity because, but that's really wrong. And I've experienced contact with Jesus and Shiva and Krishna. One time I was coming out of a session where I can't think of that technique where they kind of lay hands on you and do mantras. It's a Japanese technique of healing. And this guy was, he was giving free sessions because it was part of his part of his teaching that he had to do so many sessions. And so anyway, I went, and at the end then everybody had a chance where there's like six people there that he had done the technique with, and then at the end everybody kind of had a chance where each group of people would lay their hands. And I got out of the car, I got out of the session, it was night at his house, and it was about 10 o'clock, and I got in the car, and right in behind me stepped, I'm not sure, I think it was Krishna, it was a blue Indian god, I remember that, and he sat in the car and drove home with me, and it was very real. I mean, I could just sense it, so... and I'd never had any contact with him before, but they
are.
Did
it freak you out?
It didn't scare me. I just wondered about it. I didn't look back there because it was like an energy rather than an actual entity that I could see. But I could clearly feel that energy in the form of this god. And so I thought, well, I just thought that was interesting. It didn't really freak me out much. There wasn't any fear associated with it. Just kind of wondering, I think. And when you first have those experiences, then you kind of, you haven't had them before, so you wonder and what they're about. But there are those entities out there, at least from my experience. And, they can be called on to help you.
Well, I really appreciate... I'm sorry, are you going to say anything? Because I'm
no.
going to start to comment on
no,
it.
No, go ahead and comment. I'm done now.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. We're really great sharing. And just what you inspired me to, or something is inspiring me to just reiterate what Dr. Pillai has said about this time, this particular time. So the now, as he calls it. What are you getting out of this now? And when you're sharing about these entities or these energies or this experience, it's so good because people don't know if they're supposed to see a physical form or if they're supposed to, you know, when they're chanting the mantras, or do they, a lot of people question, I felt this presence, but I don't know how to describe it. Or there was an overwhelming feeling that came across where I had no fear. I knew there was something there, or something had shifted, but fear was not there. And when you are in that state of receptivity to these entities or to these energies or to these gods or archetypes that we're learning about through Dr. Ply or maybe through our other teachers or just along what we've Googled or experienced with others along the way, is that we're all spiritual beings, and in that there's going to be times in our lives where they're going to reveal themselves, and then maybe not for some time, and then come again and reveal in a different way. So don't try to get stuck in which is which, and is this real or isn't this real, or this is a validation or this is not a validated thing to experience. So we don't want to get caught up in all that. So what you're sharing, Wayne, is like it was real for you, and that's all that matters. And that's what Dr. Pillai is saying. Whatever form, it can be form or it can be formless. It can be an energy, and if that energy is positive and it is loving and supportive, or it's silence, it's that space, then you know you've tapped into something really divine, really pure, and that will cleanse you. It will cleanse you at the soul level, because who can touch our soul? Nobody can. So not even us. Sometimes. So when we get that cleansing at the soul level, that is, it can happen in an instant, that shift can happen, and then our life can change. Or we will be forever changed. We'll go through our life, just as you're explaining about Arjuna on the battlefield with Krishna, who is the charioteer. He wasn't supposed to, it was in the, you know, in his, when he chose which side to battle, he said, I'm going to just be there. But just his presence there allowed the battle to go on, and then ultimately Arjuna's side won because they surrendered to the divine, which was him. They didn't say, you better go fight. His presence was there, and it was a presence to be reckoned with, and it was a presence that goes down in history. And for those people who don't know about the Mahabharata or the Ramayana, you can go and look up that and read about it. But really, it's a metaphor in our lives. The battle is going to go on daily in our life. Should I do this? Should I do that? Am I doing something right? Am I doing something wrong? And then ultimately, you just have to surrender to the divine. And however that shows up in your life, it may show up where someone like Wayne is sharing something, Indrani sharing something, Radha sharing something, I'm sharing something, and you're all still here, and you're listening, and you're participating on some level. Or maybe you're going to listen to this later, right? Or maybe you won't listen to it at all, but because you're coming every week, you'll get the energy of it. So, you know, whatever it is in our life that says, I don't understand what it is to be connected to the divine or how to do it. I know that I'm in, maybe a bit fearful, but that's the ego. The ego is all about, creating that kind of distance, you know, separation. So just know it's there. There it goes again. But then put love in the space and just keep praying. And to whoever it is you got to pray to, they may show up in your car seat. Fine. That's awesome.
Sucharita, one thing you just kind of stirred a thought in my mind about the interchange between Arjuna and Krishna and his later advice to establish, established in yoga, perform action. I just realized that what Arjuna was doing, trying to figure out whether he should fight or whether he should not fight because he didn't want to kill his own relatives, he was too stuck in the relative world, which is logic, and that's what that's been part of the problem for humanity is that we are raised trying to figure out all of our problems through logic, and that we cannot do that because we don't have the complete knowledge to know every the result of every action or the all the factors involved in making a decision and what the outcome is going to be using logic. But with the third eye, which becomes active when you're established in yoga, then you know absolutely the right thing to do because you have you have a channel to the entire knowledge of the universe through that third eye, so you'll know what exactly is the right thing to do. It's like you go to the store and you have this intuition, oh, I should get butter, and you think, no, I just bought butter yesterday, and you get home and you didn't take the action, you ignored that, and it turns out the butter you bought yesterday was bad or something like that. So it always has the right answer, and our struggle is just to get to that point where we stop depending on logic and start using that higher channel.
Absolutely. So tune into that channel, which is none other than our higher self, and then these divine beings are within us as well, and then they show what can show up outside of us just to sort of, you know, entertain us in a way, really. But
let me just give a little my experience with Christ, because it's been at least four very clear contacts with him that I have, and
sure.
The first time was, you know, years ago, and my wife had left me and taken my kids. They were 4 and 5. She'd moved to Georgia, and I was sitting meditating, and afterwards I was resting, and this hand came down through the ceiling, and I didn't know that that's who it was at the time. Just later I did, but the hand had like these purple robes on it, and it touched me on the back and said everything would be all right. And I thought, well, that's funny, because I've come to terms with this, and I'm not really depressed, but I kept thinking throughout the years, what was that? And then many years later, I had to have some minor surgery, and that was when those words came right to the forefront in my head. And so that was one. And then later, having a more direct experience with Christ, he came through, and like you said, not seeing him directly in the room or anything like that, but in my mind's eye, I could feel the energy, and he is, and I suspect this is true of many of the archetypes, they're much bigger than us as humans. He was like 10 times my size, and I was having a serious concern about something, and he just picked me up in his arms like a baby, and I just knew it was him, and there he was again in the kind of like the flowing purple robes, and all I could feel was his extreme compassion. So, you know, I knew that that was one of the essences of his self that I was experiencing. So, it was a very very wonderful experience, and you know, it gave me more sort of courage and faith about life. Not that I was particularly discouraged. I've always been pretty, maybe overly optimistic at times, but you know, there's times when those fears come in, and if you really need it, that it will be there. You can't go to it every day when you know when it's something that you yourself can do on your own. It's not going to come. It only comes if there's a point where you are just sort of at an end and just not knowing what's going to happen and needing that little bit of something. So, and a couple other times too, but you know, I can tell you from my experience that he's definitely there, as are some of the other entities. They come through very real for me anyway, and I see them in my mind's eye, and I feel their energy. So if that's helpful to anybody else, then I think it's good to talk about it.
It's great. It's great talking about it, Wayne. It's always a pleasure to hear your experiences, you know, being on the path for quite a long time. And then knowing that you're here to, you know, share with others maybe stuff that they, you know, have been questioning.
Yeah.
And it's all good. It's all good. It's all divine. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to click out now.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's great. It's great sharing. And, you know, just something that popped into my head was fear was mentioned quite a few times. And then, as we know, we've read, we've heard, we've grew up in, that on the other side of the coin, so there's one side of the coin that says fear, be driven by fear in life, fear meaning anxiety, anger. You know, when people say, no, I'm angry, I'm not fearful. Yes, you are. You are. Don't be in denial about that. That's one thing that Dr. Pillai says. Get out of your denial about stuff. And then you will see that really it's just all either fear or love. And it's not love as in, you know, romantic kind of thing, or, you know, everything's all roses. It's unconditional love. So you can just know that if you don't feel that within yourself, or you don't feel it from another human being, then there is no other alternative but to go to the divine, because the divine is unconditional love. Yeah, who's there now?
Hi, Sucharita.
Hi, how are you?
This is Cindy.
Cindy, yes, I recognize you. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Great.
Yes, I have some question about the Tavenant. I do the Tavenant every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is like on Mahalaya time, you know, not even the new moon. Do I have to do like can we do like every hour or just one time only?
You can do it. You can do the tarpanum offering from your sunrise, wherever you are in the world. So sunrise time to sunset time. So do that, and you can do it. You could do it 100 times in that time, or you can do it once, or you can do it every hour. Some people find that when they set their clock or their phone to beep every hour, that reminds them, go do the tarpanum. So you can do it. Mahalaya is just the time where the ancestors are really active. So if you do it more throughout the day between sunrise and sunset, chances are you're going to feed more ancestors.
Okay, that's good. I only do every hour on new moon day, so, you know, the rest of the day I only do once, so, you know.
That's fine. Once is fine. Once is more than none.
Yeah. It's good to know. I would like to tell you about the experience. I mean, like, you know, the things happen. The dream, you know, like, I do the tapping every day, you know. Two weeks ago, I think, my sister told me, you know, my father, he passed away like a year, 2 years. My sister told me my father asked her money, you know. He said that he doesn't even have money to buy a food, you know, and things like that.
So since your father has passed, he's coming in your sister's dreams and saying, I need money for food?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he need money for food. He said he ordered food that he doesn't even have money to pay for it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and he asked my sister, just give me $10, like that, you know, give me $10. And you know, and okay, a few days ago, he gave me, after I heard about that, and he gave me a dream, two days ago, yeah, he said, with his name, you know, he told me to build a bridge for him, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, later on, I found out my sister told me, another sister told me, okay, in my country, they offering the, I mean, they taking a donation, you know, for the, to building the bridges and to building a temple, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it's a wow, you know, like it is like, you know, exactly what's happening, you know, that what he told me.
Wow.
He's kind of demanding in my dream, you know. You got to do it for me. You got to do, you know, like with my name, you know. You got to build a bridge for me, like that, you know.
Mhm. And so, what is that? So, how is that relating to the Mahatarpanam?
Yeah. Yeah, what I'm thinking is, you know, like, I do the tabernacle every day, you know, how come they still in need, you know? They still need things, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so...
They want to go like, a higher level, like, you know, like, quickly.
Yes. That's exactly it. That's exactly it, Cindy. And I'm glad that you're sharing your story, because it helps us to understand that we're doing the tarpanam because there are relatives or there are ancestors that are stuck in planes of existence, that they need to do things to get to the other side. So maybe the dream of building the bridge, and then it's showing up in your real life where you can donate to helping a bridge be built. That's happening as above, so below. So then when that bridge is being built, or you're contributing to it in some way, or your sister or family members are who are still here on the earth plane, it's like you're symbolically building that bridge for your father's soul to cross, or maybe other souls can cross it. Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense, yeah, after you say that. Huh? Like his soul to cross, you know?
Yeah. And then when they do, Cindy, after Mahatarpanam, or as you're doing Tarpanam every day, start to see or feel in your own life how that's showing up. Because once we help our ancestors to cross over to higher realms, then they will bless us. So when we listen to the spirit, that thing that inspires us or speaks to us in dreams or, you know, in visions, or, you know, maybe shows up in our car seat next to us. That is the divine within that soul saying, this is how you help. This is how you help yourself, by getting that support and giving that support. So you're giving something and then receiving something in return. That's the law of nature on this plane and on other planes as well. So Dr. Pillai has given us this beautiful spiritual tool that is totally simple to do, to help our ancestors to evolve so that we will also evolve, and then so on as it goes. Because for some reason, we decided to incarnate into a certain gene pool, and we wanted to participate in that evolution of that gene pool, which is ultimately connected to every other gene pool here on this earth plane and on other planes as well. So we're just here as spiritual beings, or evolving as bringing more of spiritual technology or spiritual knowledge into this earth plane, and it's helping other planes to evolve as well, so that when that gene pool is all cleaned up, we are living heaven on earth. So it's really great that you're having those clues, and then not only having them, but you're taking action. Keep feeding the ancestors. That's the greatest action. And not just feeding them, you know, rotely or randomly. Do it with heartfelt prayers. And the more emotion you bring in, the more goddess energy you bring in. And what does the goddess do? The goddess cares. The goddess will, you know, move the mountains. So it's great. Thanks so much for sharing about that, Cindy.
So, when he asked Manny in the dream all the time, you know, what does that mean? He still wanted to go to a higher level for that too, or they are really hungry.
Yeah, and the tarpanum, the rice, the combination of the rice and the sesame seed, or whatever soul offering is from your religious culture, or, you know, whatever you're raised in, there's always something that you feed the souls with. Some cultures they feed it with, you know, like wheat or wine, olive oil, you know, whatever that is for your culture, you can find out. But with Dr. Pillai, it's the flour, the rice flour or rice grains, and then the black sesame seeds. And that combination, just those two items, equals is the currency for that soul. So feed him more.
Okay, maybe they don't have enough. If I do it one time a day.
Yeah. Because look what you're doing. You're doing that on behalf of everybody in your family or your gene pool. Yeah. And then he's probably doing it on other planes and saying, hey, we need some more of that so we can move some more ancestors across the bridge.
So you're saying that in a family, there's more than one people doing that, if they can go higher level faster, right?
Absolutely. And I've seen that or heard of it. From members who they are a little bit apprehensive, and then all of a sudden maybe their spouse starts doing it, or their siblings start doing it, or their father, mother starts doing it. So something magical happens where the spirit just overrides the logic and just starts to see the results and moves people to participate. Not that you have to force anyone or show anybody and say, hey, this is what I'm doing and it's a good thing, you know, because that can get into some conflict. So you don't need to do that, put it in somebody's face who's not going to be receptive to it. But what happens over time is that they actually want to participate in it and they want to do it because they see over time that it is a good thing, and then they feel the presence of the ancestors. Keep doing it. And if you can get your siblings to do it, or if they just want to naturally do it, go ahead and invite them to do it and support them to do it.
Okay. I'm not really clarified about the ritual. Even after Mahalaya, you know, like I can do like more than one time. Is that what you're saying?
Do it every day, do it every hour, do it 108 times a day if you want. If your father is saying he needs more money and he needs the bridge built, I would just be doing it as often as possible. Get that bridge built, sister.
Yeah, they don't have enough of what they keep asking money when I do their partner every day, you know?
So, yeah.
I should do more than one time, and that's what I'm thinking.
if you want to, go ahead. If that's what is being called upon you to do, do it.
Okay. That's interesting. You know, he's very straightforward to even where he lived. You know, when he was lived in Earth, my father. Yeah, so in the dream, he's very, like, demanding and very straightforward, what he wants, what he needs, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple to please him, just offer that tarpanum. It's not big deal, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else, Cindy?
Yeah, that'd be all, you know, I just wondering, you know, like why I do tabernacle every day. He just keep asking money from my sister.
You know? Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
I think my sister's life was getting better after he died, you know. For example, like her husband is like a very lazy guy and always gambling, you know. And after my father died, you know, I think my father blessed him, you know. And he blessed him. Her husband started to change, you know.
Oh,
he incredibly changed. He go to work. He went to work so hard, you know. And then he paid. Get all the money to my sister Kate, you know, and everybody go wow, you know, it's really totally different than before. Before he never, you know, he just gamble, every money's gone, you know.
Mm.
I think my father blessed them, and he asked money from her too, you know, when he needs it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. So do the tarpanum, everybody. Yeah. Try it out. Why not, right? These are great things that are happening.
Yeah, let me do more than one time. If something great thing happens, I'll let you know.
Okay, let us know how it goes. I want to hear about that bridge being built.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we are planning to, you know, like build for him too, you know. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I had a little bit question about that. Like, he wanted with his name only, or you know, if he demand like that, you know, he wanted with his name only, or can I put all the ancestors, like he and or the ancestor, you know, for this bridge building? You think the spirit they gonna be get jealous or mad or something like that?
Well, the bridge isn't going to be built overnight, so keep getting some, ask those questions in your prayers and in your meditations, and maybe you'll get the answer.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much, Sachalita. That's a good tip.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. Good luck.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else who has any questions? This has been a long call. So, but it's been, you know, it's been great. It's been really informative. For me anyways, I hope that the listeners have gotten something out of it. Is there anyone who has anything that they want to share before we wrap it up? All right. Well, thanks again to Radha for giving us the heads up of what's going to be happening in the next few weeks with the sun transiting in Virgo and then illuminating the area of the sixth house of the zodiac, which is all about service and providing, you know, some way to be selfless in nature and in our lives, just smiling at someone else will be tremendous and then give you the love back, the good feelings back, and then it gives you that energy to overcome, you know, enemies, ill health. Take care of your health. If you haven't had a health checkup, go get one and, you know, start to eat more nutritiously. Meditate more, do some yoga, do some exercise, get into nature, have less conflict with people by avoiding those who naturally are conflicting or causing problems in your life. Just take a break, a time out. It's only for a couple of weeks. And then see how you feel. And in the nine nights of the goddess, surrender. Just say, you know what, whatever it is that I'm not able to give up, I'm just surrendering it to you, and you better show up and then just take care of me, because I'm like a child on this spiritual path and I need to be, you know, break through those limitations that are causing me to be so small and so insecure. So the goddess energy will help to move you forward. So participate in Navaratri, continue on with your tarpanum, offerings during Mahalaya, because those ancestors are going to bless you. huge. And then when you participate on the new moon, I'm not sure if Radha mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Whatever ancestor has passed, whoever has passed in the past 30 years, so from this point 30 years ago and every year in between, if someone has died in your lineage, your gene pool, unexpectedly due to a weapon, or maybe they were in the military and they died in a war, or a really brutal accident that took the life and they were young, or it wasn't, you know, a natural death, then that spirit or that soul will be raised to the level of a heavenly being, so a godlike status. And when you have an ancestor who's hanging out with the gods, my goodness, the blessings you will get in your gene pool in return. So some of us don't even know if there are ancestors who did die in war or something in the 30 years, or by a weapon, if they were shot or killed by something unusual, and then not health related, I mean. So those ancestors will, if you pray and you participate either through Astrovet or Ply Center or even your own tarpanum that you're doing every day, and just pray on that new moon day, which is like Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on where you are in the world, that will raise them to the level of godlike status. And then you get the blessings for your gene pool to evolve. So pay attention, mark it on your calendar, and pay attention to that day especially. And do your prayers, your tarpanum offerings, and then we'll hear about it on next call, next week, on Sundays with Sujarita. And we'll pray to the goddess Saraswati, who is a form, Sujarita is the form of Saraswati, that is of the golden age, so brings in that knowledge to this world to help it to evolve, and does it in a technical way, like as in what we're doing right now through the internet, and connecting everyone around the world, no matter what, where you're coming from or what belief system you have been exposed to. You're going to know what you're supposed to know, and it's going to give, that wisdom is going to propel you to greater heights and feel that you can rise above any situation. So God bless you, Goddess bless you, and enjoy all those people who are going to see Dr. Ply in person in New York or in Florida. It will be totally, totally life-transforming, because he is going to bring you the goddess in a beautiful way that only you will know and experience and love and be forever changed. So bless everyone, and we'll see you next time. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.